The Evolve Network is now live at evolvenetwork.tv. Subscribe for meal plans, recipes, cooking shows, and our very own The Magic Pill and The Magic Plant, as well as access to my favourite documentaries. The Evolve Network is also home to our full library of podcasts, with new release podcasts airing first and in full on the channel. You can also watch selected vodcasts in a video format. Meanwhile, enjoy this highlight of our podcast and head over to evolvenetwork.tv for the full Evolve podcast experience. The Evolve with Pete Evans podcast is a conversation about my favourite ingredients for a healthy human experience. We take an informed look at topics that include nutritional and emotional well-being, as well as expanded consciousness. I love exploring the topics that are not traditionally taught at school and take a deep dive into them with my special guests. I invite you to sit back and come along for the ride with an open mind and heart, and please share with your family and friends, as these podcasts may just be the seed from which many things will flourish from. Cheers. We've been using Waters Co. water filters for the last 10 years, and I wholeheartedly trust my family's health with them. Waters Co., established 1977, have personal and domestic water filters, which turns your ordinary tap water into great-tasting, alkaline, ionized mineral water, which removes up to 99.9% of fluoride, heavy metals, chemicals, and bacteria, so you can love your tap water again. The Bio 1000 is the latest edition of the BMP 1000 model and the culmination of over 40 years of experience and research into water filtration by some of the world's leading scientists. Waters Co. was first to market with natural gravity-fed systems, creating alkaline water way back in 1984, and have continued to lead the market in research and development, setting the benchmark for all other brands to follow. Please go to my webpage, PeteEvans.com, to learn more and to receive your special discount from my link on the products page. You're going to love it. Lynn McTaggart is an award-winning journalist and the author of 7 books, including the worldwide international bestsellers The Power of Eight, The Field, The Intention Experiment, and The Bond, all considered seminal books of the new science and now translated into some 30 languages. To find out more about Lynn McTaggart, please visit her website, lynnmctaggart.com. That's LynnmctaggArt.com. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. How are you, sister?
I am just great, thank you. Other than being locked down, we're locked down here in the UK. You know, we've just had a countrywide, so, you know, we're a little sad about that in the numbers of cases, but otherwise just peachy.
Well, this is a great honor for myself. It was my wife, Nick, that introduced me to your work many, many years ago, and yeah, I pinch myself sometimes when I get to spend time opposite somebody, even if you're around on the opposite side of the planet at a different time zone. But just this, I'm very grateful for the opportunity. And I feel like you are somebody that people come to for solutions, for guidance, for help along their journey in this existence. And over the last 10 to 12 months, people like yourself would be the most sought out voices in the world to help make sense of what is going on and to offer some type of guidance or solutions to a very uncertain time and a very random, chaotic, ridiculous, absurd. I mean, the adjectives can keep going and I'll stop there, but what do we do?
What a great question. What do we do? Well, first of all, we have to put this in perspective, which is that, you know, human beings have faced crises before. And what is so brilliant about the living spirit, the human spirit, is our ability to be resilient. And this time, in a sense, we've gone to sleep, and we've gone to sleep with a certain kind of story of who we are. And that basically fashions how we live our lives. And the current scientific story is really the story by which we live. And that story has really described a world that is full of separate and individual things, operating according to fixed laws in time and space. And then we add on top of that the information that was attributed to Darwin, the whole idea that there just isn't enough to go around. So life must proceed through struggle, competition, and domination. And that whole concept, that entire idea, then framed our lives and framed the world that we created. So now a lot of that is being taken away thanks to a pandemic. And no matter what side you are on in terms of believing that lockdown and vaccines and all of that are necessary or not, clearly we are changing how we live our lives, and we will change how we live our lives going forward. And that may not be necessarily a bad thing, but we do have to learn new rules of engagement and learn new ways of being that tap into our resilience. And one of the most important elements of that, of course, is hope. You know, hope isn't an added extra. Hope isn't inessential. Hope is a kind of necessary element, and probably the most necessary element we have in our lives. It probably is the thing that gets people well when we're talking about illness. So one of those things is hope and positivity for the future. But there are many, many more things too we have to develop. And of course, the thing that I'm working on most of all is community, the idea of small communities, power of eight groups. And those are the things that I encourage people to assemble, because they are not only companionship, and I'm talking about virtual groups, meeting as we are right now on Zoom. But those kinds of groups also create healing circles. They are such a perfect antidote to what's going on right now.
Let's talk about that a little bit more, the community side of things and the power of eight.
Okay. Well, the power of eight came about by accident. Back in 2008, the year before that, I published a book called The Intention Experiment, because I'd seen a lot of evidence out there, a lot of popular stuff about the law of attraction, the idea of the secret, you know, that mind can affect matter. And I'm an investigative reporter by background. And so when I hear things like that, there's not a lot of woo-woo about me, which is bizarre considering what people, you know, my books and what I do now and what people think of me. But in my heart, I'm still a hard-nosed reporter. And so when I started hearing about all of that stuff in the early 2000s, I kept thinking to myself, well, what are we talking about here? Are we talking about moving a quantum particle? Are we talking about curing cancer with our thoughts? So I thought, well, let's test this. So my first book in this area was a book called The Field, and it was in 30 languages by then. So I thought, well, I've got readers around the world. And I also, by that time, knew a lot of scientists working in frontier areas and working in consciousness studies. So I thought, well, if I just put them together, I'll have the biggest global laboratory in the world. So that's what I did back in 2007. And we've run 35 experiments to date, by the way. 31 have shown measurable, positive, mostly significant effects, which surprised me most of all because I did not think this was really going to work very well. I thought it was a kind of crazy thing to do. But then, as it started working, I got the idea around 2008, well, what would happen if I tried to do some of this in a workshop? But I wasn't really sure how to do it. And I was kicking it around with my husband, Brian, one day. And I said, oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll put them in groups of eight or so and have them send healing intention to a member of the group with a health challenge. And Brian's such a good headline writer. He's also a journalist. He said, I love it, the power of eight. And that's how it started, completely by accident. We did it in our first workshop in Chicago, put people into groups of eight or so, had them send healing intention to a member of the group with a health challenge, and figured it was going to feel like getting your back massaged. It was going to be this little nice feel-good effect. Well, that's not what happened. When we had people do that, we had them come back the next day for the next day of the course and tell us what happened. And we handed them the mic and turn, and they said things like this. I have depression and it's completely lifted today. I have terrible knee arthritis and I'm walking normally. I have IBS and my gut feels normal today and healthy. I have cataracts and they're 80% better. And on it went. So I was a bit flabbergasted by this. Didn't know what to think of it. And then I thought, well, this is a placebo effect. So I started doing it again and again and again, every time I had a workshop anywhere around the world, and it kept happening. These spontaneous healings after 10 minutes of group intention. So it took me 10 years to get the courage to write this in a book, in my book, The Power of Eight, which I came out a few years ago. and a lot of bullying by Brian for me to finally do this and to try to figure out what it was that a group offers. But I've run it thousands of times now, and I've seen this over and over and over again, extraordinary healings after 10 minutes of intention. So my book, The Power of Eight, is really all about why. And I think there's lots of reasons why. But I want to tell you, and I'll tell you about that in a minute, but I want to tell you about the most amazing case of this that happened a year ago. In the last, one of the last in-person talks I gave, it was in London. There were about 700 people in the audience. And after a talk about the Power of Eight and my work, I always put people into groups and let them experience it. So I did. People got into groups. They sent healing intention to a member of the group with a health challenge. And afterward, I asked people, you know, raise your hand and tell us if you've had any kind of experience. So we had some amazing stories of pain being gone and this and that and the other. And then we get to the final group and they all raise their hand and say, and point to a woman that's sitting there in a wheelchair. And so I said, okay, please tell your story. And this is a woman who was paralyzed from the neck down. We saw her in a motorized wheelchair and she got up out of her wheelchair. I swear to you, I have it on video. I show this all the time. And she talked about the whole story about it. And she said, and a woman was trying to help her. And she said, no, I don't need this. And she got up and talked and moved. And what was remarkable about it is, it was a young woman with some weird idiopathic paralysis, no doctors understood. And she's a dancer, which made it more tragic. And I was so blown away by it that I even called her afterward. I got her number and I called her and I said, wow, Maya, her name is, what was that? And she said, it was more love than I've ever felt in my life. And in fact, it was almost too much love. So I passed some of it on to, you know, I didn't need as much as that, she was saying. So I passed some of it on to a relative of mine with cancer. And it was, funnily enough, that moment, she said she almost felt, she had the sensation of her wheelchair going through the floor. And and that was, I think, one of the more remarkable cases, but I've seen thousands of them, where people are healed of things they are supposed to need an operation for, of cancer, of things in their lives, and in 10 minutes.
You mentioned the word courage, that you needed the courage to be able to release this book. Tell me about that.
I did. Well, you know, my whole foray into this work came about in the 1990s when I wanted to find out why spiritual healing works. Because we've run, my husband and I run a health magazine called What Doctors Don't Tell You. I think it's also there in Australia. It's been licensed in Australia. And at the time, we study medical literature and we look at what works and what doesn't work in conventional and alternative medicine. And at the time, I kept coming across these really amazing studies demonstrating that spiritual healing works. And so, again, the journalist in me was really curious. I said, well, wait a minute, if you can have a thought and send it to someone else, then that undermines everything we think about how the world works. And that inquiry led to my writing the book, The Field. But I didn't expect what I was going to find. I didn't expect that we would be on the brink of a completely new science, a new view of the world. And that's what I found when I started interviewing frontier scientists, thinking, well, they're going to tell me there's something like human energy fields. I'll write it up. I'll hand it in. Job done. That was not what happened. I found each of them had a little piece of the story, and it was going to be up to me to put this all together and also translate it into something like lay language, because, you know, scientists like that talk in math, they talk in code. So the journey from the start of this took an enormous amount of courage, to be honest, because I'm not a scientist. You know, I didn't even study physics in high school. So I had to learn this. And many of these scientists patiently tutored me. And so every book since that, and there have been four in this area that I've done, have been a foray into the dark and something that is very different from the life I started when I started out as a journalist. I mean, back when I started out in my 20s, I was trying to bust baby selling rings and, you know, posing as an unwed mother was one of the first things I did. And then I uncovered a batch of baby selling rings. So that was my work, hidden tape recorders and, you know, putting bad guys into jail. So this was a really, really different kind of work. But the doing of it each time changed the messenger.
Let's talk about investigative journalism. What, define that for me in your, from your definition, back then to what it is now?
That's a great question. And the answer is really real journalism. Every journalism, every piece of journalism should be investigative, which is, you know, I take very seriously the idea that we are the fourth estate. We are supposed to offer a control over government and authorities. We are supposed to challenge those authority figures, those institutions, in the name of the public. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the job. I mean, these days, I think journalists are mouthpieces of the establishment, not the challengers. not the diggers, not the investigators. But I've always felt that was really important. And of course, that's what we do with What Doctors Don't Tell You. But in a way, it's been an interesting thing for me because I've brought that that focus, that investigative focus, into spirituality. And so that's, I suppose, what people find interesting about my books, because they're spiritual books, but there's loads of references if they want them, and it's based on science. And that's what people want, I think, these days. They want some sort of proof. But it's really important. It's leaving no stone unturned. That's what investigative reporting is. You're a dog with a bone, and you keep digging and digging until you find things. And so for me, more recently, since the 2000s, that bone has been spirituality. And I suppose my latest book, The Power of Eight, was really an attempt to dissect magic. And that's what the intention experiment was. I wanted to, I'm the ultimate doubting Thomas, I suppose. So I wanted to dissect magic. How does it work? And that's really what I've been looking at with The Power of Eight. Why do these miraculous healings occur? And in asking it over and over again, what has been really important is there are loads of different reasons. I think there's an enormous group effect. Emile Durkheim, the French psychologist, called it collective effervescence. Something amazing happens when people get together in a group. There's intention, of course, the power that our thoughts are things that affect other things. And there is also altruism. That's, I think, the real key element here. Like Maya, when she took that love and she sent it out to her relative, that's when the big change happened. And I see that over and over again. Oftentimes, people in the group, when they're doing group intention, it's not just the receiver who gets it, but the senders also are healed as well.
It's no coincidence that we're having this chat tonight, because about an hour before we connected, my wife and I announced that we're opening our wellness retreat that we've been working on for the last 4 or 5 months. We announced it publicly, and we open in about 2 months. And we have 6 to 8 cabins, and we've been discussing it for a while, like when we were looking at the right space to purchase, to set it up. And it kept coming back to me. I said, I think we only should have 6 to 10 people at any one time. I think that's the space that we, the two of us, can hold with special guest therapists and healers. And we have a smorgasbord of wonderful friends and acquaintances and colleagues. So it'll be this evolving or movable feast of these body workers, energy workers, spiritual workers, emotional workers, you name it. I'm open to it all, and so is my wife. But it just kept coming back, like, what's the perfect group for us to have? And it kept coming back, 6 to 10 people. And now you're talking about the power of eight. I'm like, uh-huh. And it's so beautiful, because as you're speaking, I'm already witnessing and seeing what is about to take place on that very sacred land that we have. I don't know how we managed to manifest it, but we did. That it's in a rainforest, and it's a very beautiful part of the country, and very, very special with the tribal people of this country as well. And yeah, I can already predict and see the healing that's going to take place, especially with the type of work that you promote in this group healing setting. And I feel like I just want to ask you, what does that mean to you when I speak those words? And about the future of humanity and how we can heal. And where do you see, I guess where I'm going with this question is, you talked about community, small groups of people. Is this what we need right now? Small groups of people, the ripple effect.
Totally. This is totally what we need. Every year I run a masterclass. And what I do with this, the Power of Eight Intention Masterclass, I teach people for a while, and then I put them into groups. And they're with their group for an entire year. And while I monitor them and I send them challenges and tips and this and that every week, and we have catch-up calls, et cetera. But the point is, and the real learning is in that group. And it's been really interesting. I've been doing this since 2015. And I ran courses before that, but that was the first year I decided to put people into groups for a year just to see what would happen. And I wanted to monitor, you know, would everything in their lives improve if they were there together week by week by week? And back in 2015 with that first group of the people who continued to meet regularly, you know, some dropped out. But the people who did meet regularly, pretty much 100% of them had major life healings, whether that was healing a physical illness like Mitchell Dean, who had chronic depression, suicidal depression, not a good fit for somebody who is a clinical psychologist, but his group intention helped him to find out the cause, and which was a liver filtration system that wasn't working properly. And as soon as that was sorted, his depression lifted. And then we had people who, you know, got financial windfalls when they needed it, new amazing careers, new amazing life purpose. Everything began to shift with the people meeting week by week. This year's one, which is just about coming to a close, I saw people who met primarily during lockdown and COVID. And this was really fascinating because it was an extraordinary lifeline for them. First of all, in terms of the very simple thing of ending isolation, I know with my own Power of Eight group, I have a little super group of people who are all in this field who are my Power of Eight group. And we started meeting because one of our members had stage 4 prostate cancer. He's just about healed by the way, by now. This was back in March. And it's now become, we like to call it, who's got what? Because when people show up, they show up with something and we do intentions for them. But it's also become a real lifeline in this COVID time because everybody's so isolated, and yet we're not, because we meet every week. And so it's been that. But I've also seen with our group this year, we've had some amazing stories.
I really hope you enjoyed the first half of this podcast. If you'd like to listen to the rest, please visit evolvenetwork.tv. That's evolvenetwork.tv. We'll see you there.
The information, views and opinions expressed in this podcast should not be treated as a substitute for nutritional, medical or other advice by a qualified professional. Guests in this podcast express their own opinions, experiences and conclusions. Nothing in this podcast should be used to diagnose, treat, cure or prevent any medical condition. Neither Pete Evans nor any sponsor endorse any views, opinions or conclusions expressed or shared in this podcast.